Jesus often used parables to illustrate a spiritual reality with a physical one, and I'd like to begin the lesson this morning with a similar parable. When we start our car, we all know that the battery becomes a little bit weaker. But when the battery is new and the battery is stable, the charging system of the car quickly restores what was used. And the next time we need to start the car, we are able to do so. And we're very confident with that. Most of us didn't get up 2 hours early this morning to make sure that the car was going to start. We know the car is going to start. And yet, once in a while, it doesn't start. But if we have ever had a drain battery, if you've ever started your car and you hear that just sluggish, slower, slower, and then click, and then you're in trouble. And we've all been there. And we are all very much aware of it, and so we protect the power of the battery. If we start to hear it weakening, what do? We ignore it? No, we recognize that a future problem is in the working or in the works if we don't take care of this. Now, we don't know if it's a battery or a charging system, so we will often take it in and have them check the battery, check the charging system, because we've got to have that. You've got to have power in order to be able to have a car. And, of course, the same thing is true with the electricity. The difference, of course, is there's no warning with electricity. You get a warning with a battery. You can see it coming. But with electricity, it's just either on or it's off. And so some people will purchase a generator. Some people will purchase a special power bar to keep their computer going because they don't want to lose their work and all the effort and toil that they've put forth. Now, both types of power are in the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, this is the Greek word from which we get the word dynamite from. It's the Greek word dunamis, and dunamis has a very important meaning, and that is inherent power. It's power you can carry with you. It's power that you can move from place to place. It's different from a power source that is outside of yourself that you have to bring something in order to bring it about. This power is actually in the scriptures. And so inherent power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. And so dynamite, gasoline, batteries, bombs, they all have power inside of themselves. And that power is utilized simply by carrying it along. We put gasoline in our tank. As long as we have gasoline in our tank, we have power. We have batteries in our car. As long as the battery has power, we can go all over the world with it. We don't have to plug it in. We don't have to be tied to something. And so God uses this word to describe the power of the gospel. But he also uses the other word, which is, "For this cause we also thank God without ceasing, that when you receive from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also works." And this is the Greek word energeo, from which we get the word energy. And it has a more generic meaning. It means something that is at work and operative and active. So this term could include both battery power and electricity power. This particular term simply refers to those things that are operative or at work or that are functioning, and the source of the power is not really described, because sometimes God is working directly. When I pray for a safe journey, when I pray that Virgil will have a safe operation, I know that God has the power to do something. He is operative. He is outside of this world, but he can bring his power into this world. We've seen it over and over and over again. We saw it with the 10 plagues. We saw it at the flood. We saw it with Jesus performing all of the miracles and with Jesus being raised from the dead. There is a power in God that is outside of this world that he can bring in, and he does that through the scriptures. All the power of God that will work in my life and your life is going to work because We are properly utilizing the scriptures. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, when it comes to a battery, we all know that there is a red and a black wire that goes to the battery, and they have to be put on the proper terminals, and then that black and white, that black wire and that red wire have to be properly set up, and then there has to be a charging system, and when that's working properly, the car's going to always be ready to go. What about me? How do I connect myself to this power? You know, that's a critical thought. We've just read, and let's go back now. I want to make a couple of applications here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Because the blood of Christ is directly tied to the gospel, when I read the gospel, the energy that the Holy Spirit has placed within the scriptures is accessible to me. But that doesn't mean anything, because a lot of people are reading the Bible and they have no power at all. There has to be something that interfaces between me and the power supply. Now, we understand that happens with a battery when we hook it up to the car. We can't just set the battery next to the car and expect the car to start. And we understand that when it comes to, we can wire our home. We can put in the switches and the lights and the appliances, but if we don't get the electric company to hook up the power to the outside of the home, then that power is not going to do any good to us. And so we understand that in the material realm, and we recognize immediately when there's a problem. If I get up in the morning and my computer won't go on, I'm going to get online on my phone and see if I can figure out, is there an accident around here? Is there something going on? Do I need to call somebody? Is there a problem in the box outside? What's going on? Why won't that light go on? And we deal with it. But sometimes in the spiritual realm, we don't see the weakening, or we've never felt the power, and so we can't appreciate somebody like the Apostle Paul, who, working through the power of the Scriptures, has abilities to withstand things and do things that are amazing. And we see this over and over. We see it in Joshua and Caleb, who had the power of God working inside of them, and that faith, that commitment, that conviction led them to the proper response when they saw all the people in the land of promise. And so the same thing is true here. We thank God without ceasing when you receive from us the word of the message, even the word of God. You accepted it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also works in you that believe. Now, is that how we've accepted it? And is it working inside of us? This is a very critical point, because Christianity can be, as Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it can be that way if the Word of God is effectively working, or working, energizing those of us who believe. So the critical point here, well, it worked for a little while, not quit. Let's see if we can make this work. Here we go. In Isaiah 55, he gives us a different illustration. He says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now that's a parable. The parable is the rain. The seed has power within itself, but that power is not unlocked until the rain or the water enters into the seed, and then life begins. That seed is just an inert piece of material until the rain hits it, and then suddenly it springs to life. And so what does God say in verse 11? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So for some of us, the Word of God gives us the power to worship properly, power to repent of our sins, the power to witness and proclaim the gospel to people who are lost, the power to pray, the power to, and we could just, you could fill in the blank, anything that God asked us to do, the scriptures give us the power to do it. And they give us the faith, the commitment, the conviction that once it comes alive in our heart, works just like that battery. And so we are continuing to do this day after day after day. But if there's little dings and there's little losses of power and we don't recharge, that rain can't come one time. Every once in a while, Malawi will get a really good rain and the crops will come up and they're green and beautiful and then it won't get another rain. And so the crops finally die because as the rain comes, it has to continue. It's not a one-time process. It has to keep coming. And the Word of God is exactly the same thing. So God created the seed and there's power inside of the seed. But life can't begin without the rain. So the water is the force necessary to unlock the life in the seed. Now that's exactly what the Word of God does. And so in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith is the power coming into our life. And monitoring my faith is critical. If I'm not monitoring my faith, every once in a while we see somebody fall away. I think you heard William or Virgil's announcement this morning. William Chitsulo, a very dear friend of mine, crushing blow, really, that this has happened. But he's gone off with the digressives. He is no longer standing with the truth and holding the truth, and he is now opposing friends, including myself, and it's a crushing thing. But you know something, brethren, that didn't happen overnight. Slowly, insidiously, the power of the scriptures began to crumble, and he became weaker and weaker. Now we see that with Judas. Judas did not maintain. He did not carry on. And we see this a lot. People who fall away. Now how can they fall away? Well, their faith has to falter. Well, how does their faith falter? Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so my relationship to the Word of God, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So the interface then is the power resides in the Word of God, just like power resides in gasoline, just like power resides in electricity, just like power resides in a battery. But unless we change the batteries, refill the gasoline, and make sure that we've paid our electric bill, we will not have what we need, and it will severely impact our life at some point. We'll get out in the car, we'll be late to work, or we won't even be able to go to work because it's going to take half the day to get that car working, and we don't have any other way to get there. Most of us are very reliant on our power sources, and we can't really function well without them. See what happens if you lose power and your refrigerator begins to get warmer and warmer and warmer. And we read about this every time there's a hurricane and people lose all of their food. Well, that's a minor problem compared to somebody who loses their faith. And so the question, brethren, that we have to ask ourselves is whether or not the scriptures are properly hooked or tied or wired or put into our life in such a way, like the rain coming down on the crops and like the power that's in a battery or the power that's coming from outside within. And all three of those are used to describe my relationship to the Word of God. So it's the Word, my confidence in the Word primarily, which is the most important interface between me and God. Matter of fact, I can't have access to the power of God. Look at what he says in verse 17 there. Therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith. Now, that's the Greek word ex or ek, from which we get the word exit. Exit means if you want to go out of this building, you have to go out through these three exit doors that are here. Now, if you want the righteousness of God to go out from God and come into you, then it has to be out of faith. Now, of course, we know without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him who diligently seeks him. Any time we feel doubt about any of this, we have a serious problem that if we don't rectify, we will our battery will die. Our hookup to God will no longer be effective. And so keeping an eye on the fact that this righteousness of God comes out of faith and it is into faith. So faith is the sum total of what I need to focus on. There's two important critical things in my life as a Christian. The first is the Word of God, and the second is my faith. Now, if either one of those, and of course the Word of God is fixed and constant, but my attitude toward it is not fixed and constant. But we have to recognize that any time I see an issue between the Word of God and me, doesn't matter whether it's a moral issue or a doctrinal issue, a practical issue, a circumstantial issue, it doesn't really matter. When my heart recognizes that something in the Scriptures is not what I'm doing, I have a short circuit, just like I do in a car battery. Now, if I have a problem, if there's something in the car somewhere where two wires are touching each other, that's going to discharge the battery. And at some point, that is going to cause the battery to no longer be functioning. Now, I have to recognize that. And again, this is just a parable that we all have to focus on. And that is, just like in the material realm, there's certain things we have to be aware of in order for us to use power. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. And becoming aware of this is critical to my relationship with God. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 21, Paul says this, "Apart from the law, righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Now, where does that faith in Jesus Christ come from? Well, no one would know anything about Jesus Christ if it wasn't for the Scriptures. The Scripture contains all things that pertain to life and godliness. The problem we run into is that the Scriptures are a package, just like my car is a package. If there's one system in the car that is awry, then the battery is going to discharge. And until I find out what that system is, it might be the headlights, it might be the brake lights, it might be the radio, it might be the power doors or the power this or whatever it is. If there's something that is causing the battery to drain, I've got to find it. Now, this is where Christians fall down sometimes because they're not looking for that. When I start feeling like, I don't really feel like going to worship today, well, my battery's draining. There's something wrong. Where is that coming from? Now, maybe I'm not reading the Bible enough. Maybe I have some doubts about something in the Scriptures. Maybe my conscience is bothering me because I know I'm not living up to the gospel. It can be a lot of things, but it's draining the power. And so what I have to be able to do as a Christian, if I want to get to heaven, is I've got to monitor this. I've got to create my spiritual ammeter or my spiritual ability to assess where the power level is. And I think that's an amazing ability that our technology has allowed us to recognize. And so now I can start doing that. I can start monitoring my faith. I can start monitoring my worship. What if I'm not singing the songs, making melody in my heart? Where's the problem? What happened? I was doing that. Now, for some reason, my mind is wandering a lot. Well, there's a reason. I need to figure out what that reason is. And it can be any one of a number of things. It might be my prayer life. It might be my Bible reading. It might be a relationship that I've developed. An evil companionship is starting to corrupt. It might be just an attitude, that evil root of unbelief that has sprung up. And so watching for those things, and I'm going to skip a couple of verses here because I think I've made my point. So I want to, as the rain does to the seed, so faith does to the Word of God. And we've got to protect it, just like we do that battery. And we need to get help. Sometimes we need to go and talk to somebody and say, look, I'm having a struggle here. If you wait, it's just like Paul said, it eats like gangrene with another spiritual parable. Gangrene is something that starts out when a part of your body is beginning to rot. Maybe the circulation isn't right. Something went wrong, and now the body's starting to rot. And if you don't cut that off, you're going to die. Now, you say, I don't want to lose my finger. Well, if you don't lose your finger, you're going to lose your hand. Well, I don't want to lose my hand. Well, then you're going to lose your arm. Well, if I don't want to lose my arm, well, then you're going to lose your life. Because once it gets to the heart, you're gone. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, you and I have been Christians long enough to know that that's not just a one statement affair. That believing Jesus is the Son of God means, as he said in Luke 6:46, don't call me Lord, Lord, unless you intend to do everything I say. And so the commitment is any sacrifice, any change in behavior, change in belief, change in practice, change in attitude, I'm ready at a moment's notice because I'm fully charged. You know, that's how Paul put it. He said, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and stretching on to what lies ahead, I press forward to the upward. Paul was fully charged. Paul had his battery so full that no matter what happened, he was never going to run into a problem. And I think a lot of us have that here. But, you know, brethren, if you don't keep an eye on things, if you don't keep an eye on what you're doing, sometimes your entertainment, little modifications in your entertainment could change your whole demeanor. Sometimes problems on the job or problems in a relationship with a husband and wife, or problems with a relationship with a brother or sister in Christ, or anything can affect this. But we need to be wise enough. We need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, but we need to be aware of what our energy level is. So what about you right now? Is your energy level as strong as it's ever been? Is it as weak as it's ever been? Are you just going through the motions right now, hoping for a second wind and an opportunity to get back into this and really be doing it with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all of our mind, with energy and effort and victory? And again, this is a very personal question. And you know something? There's only one person in this room who knows that. Sometimes we don't even talk to our husbands and wives about it. We don't even talk to our children or our friends. Sometimes we don't even talk about this to God. We just ignore it and hope it'll go away. But it's not going to go away. It has to be addressed. And so the victory that overcomes the world, the power is in the Word, and faith unlocks the power, and wonderfully so, the Word also gives us the faith. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, how can I get to that might? How can I get to that power? What's the interface? It's not a wire. It's not a battery. How do I hook up to this? Well, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, notice verse 13 is that it's my individual efforts. You know, if you don't turn that key or push the button, I guess we've got new cars now, not all of them have keys anymore. But if you don't do what's necessary to get the power from the battery to the engine to turn it over and get it started, you're just going to sit there. Well, take up the whole armor of God so that you can withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know what fascinated me years ago, I realized this, is that nearly everything in the armor of God is directly tied to the Scriptures. Gird your waist with truth. Well, truth, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. You shall know the truth if you abide in my word, and the truth will make you free. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness comes from faith. The righteousness of God, which is by faith. And faith comes by hearing. Preparation of the gospel means studying the Scriptures. faith, again, the same thing. Salvation, and then the Word of God. So what we see is that the armor of God is another parable, a parable of the Roman armor at the time of Christ. And he says that all of this needs to be done in order for you to stand in the might which God has given. I need the power of God. You need the power of God. Without God's power unto salvation, it's not in man that walks to direct his steps. So my relationship to the Scriptures is crucial. And essentially, all that means, it's a very simple point, and that is anything in the Scriptures, God said it, I believe it, and that's it. There's nothing more to be said. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm not going to doubt. If God has said it, then I'm convicted. And that's what we need if we're going to make it into heaven. And that's the power that is going to help us get into heaven. And so Peter says, again, divine power. Seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain in life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue. Now, where does that knowledge come from? It's in the Scriptures. So God's divine power has been placed into the Scriptures. It is the rain. It is also the sunshine. It is the power, whether it's battery power or gasoline power or electric power, it is the power of God that energizes those of us who believe it. So he has given us his divine power. And in verse 4, he has granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. So Peter tells us, and in similar words as Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, that the gospel is the divine power of God unto salvation, and the promises are the motivation to keep us coming back for more and keep us holding on. But then he says, I have to add on my part. For this very cause, adding on your part, all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, in your virtue knowledge, in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control perseverance, in your perseverance godliness, in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. Well, what if I do all that? If these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful. There's busyness. Fruitfulness. As the rain, bringing forth and budding, so is my word. You won't be idle because your power will be working. You won't be like that car that's idle because it won't start, or that light bulb that won't go on, or computer that won't go on because there's no power. You won't be idle. You won't be unfruitful. You will have the rain. You will have the power. Verse 9, he that lacks these things is blind, seeing only what is near. Verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure or stable or steadfast, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For thus, or in this way, shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it all comes back. Whoops, let me go back. To my faith. In your faith. That's where the power comes from. That's where the power to get virtue comes from. Then knowledge. Reading the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing the Scriptures. Reading, learning, memorizing, grasping, mastering, overcoming, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Now, when all of this is working properly, then, like Paul said, we're not going to lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Some of us have been to the doctor and heard the doctor tell us, look, there's nothing more we can do. Crushing. Debilitating. Paul says, it's going to happen to every one of us. But our inward man is not going to be impacted by that if we're hooked to the power, if we believe, if we trust, if we are fully confident. Then he says, you know, when you've got this power, it's just a light affliction. This is not that big of a deal. He said, what do you mean it's not big of a deal? What if he told you that? Well, like Paul said, this was only maybe 5 years or 6 years before Rome came to Paul and said, look, it's over. We're taking your head off. We're going to take your head off with a sword. time of my departure has come. Paul says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. So the Christian has a life of power, a life of confidence, a life of joy. So verse 18, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, some of us may read that verse and say, I don't think I've ever been able to do that. Well, it's time to learn how to do that. God's really good to us because at some point in our life we have to do that because there's nothing left. Like the Ecclesiastes writer said in chapter 12, the dark days are coming. When your teeth aren't going to work properly anymore, and your eyes aren't going to work, and your ears aren't going to work, and your legs and your arms, and your body is going to decay and reach a point where you either let go or you're just going to be totally miserable. So God's trying to help us stop looking at the things that are seen and start looking at the things that are not seen. You can do it by faith in your 20s. But it takes a lot more faith in your 20s than it does in your 70s and 80s, because once you're in your 70s and 80s, there's a lot less to look at that's seen, because there's just so little life left and so few things to look forward to. But the time to do this is in our youth, and we can do it in our youth, and there are some Christians who have done that, like Timothy, like Jesus, like the apostles, people who in their youth can see this because of their faith. So, whoops. I'm sorry, guys. I can't remember which way to do it. But we need to be aware. This is part of the prayer that Paul gave to the Ephesians that we looked at a couple of Sunday nights ago. That God may give to you the eyes of your understanding enlightened, so that you can know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. Now that power is in me. The exceeding greatness of his power. It's there. I may not have it. I may not use it. I may not know how to access it. I may not know what to do with it. But God has put it into the scriptures. And once we learn how to unlock it, we'll never be the same. Never, ever be the same. And there is no end to it. It is exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. This power is limitless. Now again, it only does what God wants it to do. It's not the power to be rich. It's not the power to be popular. It's not the power to be successful. This is the power that we need in order to get into heaven. This is the power that we need to do the battles that we need to be involved in. And so my last scripture in this lesson is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now that's what's waiting for us, if we will learn how to attach ourselves to the scriptures. We'll start reading the Bible every day. We'll start making applications if we'll trust every word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The scriptures give us God's path. Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, that's how much higher my ways are than your ways. And if we want to walk in the ways of the Lord, we've got to have a very intimate, loving relationship with Scripture. We need to know it. We need to quote it. We need to be practicing it. And if we do those things, the power of God will slowly put in or come into our lives, and we'll start seeing decisions we've never thought we could make. And we'll start seeing sacrifices we never thought we'd have the power to do. And we will start seeing things, fruits coming into our life that we know didn't come from us. And so, brethren, as we conclude our lesson this morning, how's your power? This is not something to ignore. If we're still leaning on our own understanding, we need to take some steps to make some necessary changes. Sometimes that requires repentance. Sometimes it just requires a change in habit, a change in behavior, a change in what we're doing, a change in friendships, a change in entertainment, a change in relationships. It can be a lot of things. But we better find out what it is, because if we don't, we're never going to have this power, and we're never going to have the joy of salvation, because we didn't put on the whole armor of God, and we didn't add on our part. And so as we pick up the song of encouragement this morning, and we're going to open our songbooks up to number 480, Joshua had the power. Joshua was told at the very beginning of his life, "I'll be with you every day of your life. Don't let my word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you'll be able to do all that is recorded herein." Now that was Joshua's marching orders, and he had the power to get through everything. And so as we sing this song, if there's anyone in the audience who recognizes that they're weak, that they're trembling, that they're tottering, that their faith and commitment are wavering, ask God for help. Now, you may not need to come forward. You could do it privately. But this isn't something to ignore. This is critical to our relationship with God. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come while we together stand and sing.